are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again on this Monday episode of the show. We are going to dip into the mailbag a little bit later and some camp thoughts over the weekend. Take you through what I've seen from camp and some notes on certain players. Some minor injuries are mounting for the 49ers, nothing major, but some dings that are going to keep some players out of week one of the preseason. And there was a big NFL trade on Sunday, so we're going to get to all of that stuff momentarily. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we are everywhere. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's the best place to get those mailbag questions in. You can also email the show, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And if you'd like to be a sponsor of this podcast, hit me on that email, lockedon49ers@gmail. Let's start with that trade. The Bills and Browns got together and flipped assets. Wide receiver Corey Coleman is on his way to Buffalo. He was just a first-round pick, 15th overall for the Browns a couple years ago in 2016. He was sent to Buffalo for an undisclosed draft pick. Actually, that draft pick has now been disclosed by reporters as a late-round pick, so not a great return for a guy they spent a first-round pick on just 2 years ago. Corey Coleman, number 15 overall in 2016. One of the picks Cleveland got from Philly when they traded up for Carson Wentz. So, yeesh, that's that. you pass on drafting a franchise quarterback to move down and hopefully get a bunch of pieces that can help your football team, and you don't get the quarterback, and the guys you traded down and picked up didn't work out for you either. And it's been a story of the Cleveland Browns for a while now. A tweet from Field Yates breaking down some first-round draft picks. These are the Browns' first-rounders from 2012 to 2016. So those of you who are harboring ill feelings towards Trent Baalke, could be worse. You could be a Browns fan. Browns' first-rounders, 2012 to 2016. Trent Richardson, he was traded after year one. Brandon Weeden, quarterback, cut in 2 years. By the way, Brandon Weeden, that was, and it's like not one of those hindsight things, it was a clear head-scratcher from day one. Brandon Weeden was one of the worst first-round picks we've seen in a long time. Dude was nearly 30 years old when he was selected in the first round. Even if he hits for you, he's going to retire in 5 years. It's like, what? I don't know what they were thinking with the Brandon Weeden pick, but he was cut after 2 years. Barkevious Mingo traded 3 years after he was drafted. Justin Gilbert barely got on the field, first-round cornerback. He was a top 10 pick for the Browns. He was traded after 2 years and rarely saw the field and just didn't care about ball. That's one of those things where you draft a guy in the top 10, you got to at least know he thinks he wants to play football. Johnny Manziel, that's well documented. He was cut in 2 years. Danny Shelton, he was traded to the Patriots. A nose tackle drafted in the middle of the first round. And in this day and age, drafting a nose tackle that high, not the smartest idea because, you know, this is a sub-package league now. And that true nose tackle is a dying breed. You need the guys on your roster that can do that and stuff the run, but they're not first-round draft picks. Cam Irving, offensive lineman, he was traded in 2 years. And now Corey Coleman has been sent packing. He went to Buffalo for just a late-round pick. And there was some rumors that Corey Coleman was going to be something in camp and that he was showing up, and he's super athletic. It was a little bit of a project because Baylor doesn't ask their wide receivers to do what a professional wide receiver has to do in their spread system. In fact, they don't even block on running plays. They just stand there and conserve their energy for pass plays. It's really odd to watch a Baylor football game sometimes when you're used to watching pro football. Corey Coleman, he's got a chance to resurrect his career in Buffalo. He might even be a starting wide receiver in Buffalo for the Bills. They don't have a lot there, and so we'll see how that goes. And Corey Coleman, I don't know if that's a stock up or stock down situation for him. Interesting trade that came down on Sunday. Speaking of stock up and stock down, let's talk a little bit about 49ers training camp. Some injury news to get out of the way first. Joshua Garnett still dealing with that knee injury, which was a concern. So they got a second opinion, and apparently that looks like it came back clean. So maybe some more rehab. He'll probably be held out of this first preseason game. Another player who will not be participating the rest of the week or in the first preseason game against the Cowboys is Richard Sherman. And he's going to be out with a hamstring injury that looks minor. Kawan Williams rolled his left ankle. He left practice. And so, I mean, I'm guessing all of those guys are going to miss that week one preseason matchup. So with cornerbacks going down like Sherman and Williams, what does that leave you? Jimmy Ward's already been dinged up. So you're going to be both rookies might go out there and start. You might have DJ Reed starting in the slot. We'll get to DJ Reed later, by the way, looking good in camp so far. And Tarvarius Moore on the other side in place of Sherman. And then Witherspoon, the second-year guy, that might be the lineup that starts out for the 49ers in week one. Greg Maben, there's some other more veteran players. And by veteran, some of these guys were undrafted free agents just last year. So a young group of corners and defensive backs. So that'll be interesting to see who lines up out there for Richard Sherman. If Ward's out, Kawan Williams is out, I'm guessing DJ Reed will be the first man up in the slot there for Kawan Williams. Oh, and the 49ers added a new player to the roster. Guard Chris Gonzalez to a one-year deal. In order to make room on the roster, they waived safety Corey Griffin. I hadn't really even heard a word about Corey Griffin in camp or in practices or anything. And so Corey Griffin out, Chris Gonzalez in. And Gonzalez, 6'3", 310 pounds. He was originally signed by the Vikings as an undrafted free agent, but was released. He's a 23-year-old native of Los Angeles, California. He went to San Jose State University. And as a senior in 2017, he was honorable mention All Mountain West honors after starting 13 games for the Spartans at San Jose State. He's going to be wearing number 67. So if you see a guy out there, number 67, think, I don't know who that guy is. That's Chris Gonzalez. It's the newest 49er. All right, before we get to some 49ers stock up, stock down, I got to tell you guys about Nordic Track. You ever feel like, yeah, you don't really want to go to the gym, maybe you're too busy, don't have the motivation, maybe you feel like you need a trainer, but you don't like group classes, don't like the time-consuming nature of going to the gym and travel times, costly nature of a gym membership? Do you ever wish the gym could come to you? Well, those are some of the benefits of Nordic Trek. They have all the equipment you need to give you amazing workouts in the convenience of your home. Treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, strength machines. I've been eyeballing those adjustable dumbbells they have at Nordic Trek. You can join high-energy streamed workouts any time of the day without stepping out the door. Join streamed workouts in both studio and exotic locations around the world. Workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to ensure you meet your fitness goals. And of course, there's a special offer for Locked On podcast listeners. For Locked On 49ers listeners, get $75 off your Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and using offer code Locked On. That's one word, Locked On. Again, that's Nordic Track, nordictrack.com/lockedon. Use promo code Locked On during checkout to save $75 off of your Nordic Track purchase. Stock up, stock down. Who's got the heat at 49ers training camp? Let's start with, I mentioned the guy earlier, DJ Reed. Stock up for DJ Reed. He had a nice interception in one-on-ones on Sunday, looking sticky in coverage. He wasn't biting on the double moves in practice, playing with some physicality with receivers, which I loved, but not grabby either, which is a fine line. The rookie looked ready to play in practice on Sunday. Really like what I saw from DJ Reed, that interception he had on a route covering my guy, Richie James. It's kind of a bad route by Richie James. I don't know if you guys saw that. He kind of ran a hook, but then he looked like maybe he wanted to turn it into a double move, but the quarterback threw it on the first move, and DJ Reed wasn't having it. He wasn't falling for any of that. Now he was right there to make the play. He looked good on a few other different routes from different receivers. So really like what I saw in, you know, small sample from DJ Reed, but reports from people who were down there at Santa Clara every day have said good things about DJ Reed. So he's on the come up, and he might be starting in the slot on Sunday against the Cowboys. We'll see. Another stock up, just for being back at practice and looking like himself, Trent Taylor. He was working in one-on-ones, working in 11-on-11s for the first time at 49ers training camp, and really he was just looking like Trent Taylor. He was losing guys in coverage. He's got those quicks, and so great to see. By the way, and DJ Reed, just another reason why I really liked what I saw from him in one-on-ones, because one-on-ones are so skewed for the offensive player. All these wide receivers look great in one-on-ones. It's hard for the DBs to look good, so when DJ Reed shows up as a rookie and is looking good in coverage in one-on-ones, which aren't easy, That's impressive. So, DJ Reed looking good. Trent Taylor looking good, looking like himself back at practice. I got to mention Marquise Goodwin. He's gotten a lot of love on this podcast, and everyone who's been watching practices has said he's looked amazing. He's looked like the number one wide receiver for Jimmy Garoppolo during practices, and really nobody's creating more separation in camp than Marquise Goodwin either. I mean, he's making plays down the field. He's got yards of separation using that speed, but on shorter routes, looking great, running crisp routes, getting open, making catches. I don't know. Could he be the number one targeted wide receiver for the 49ers in 2018? Most people, myself included, thought it was a foregone conclusion that Pierre Garçon was going to be that guy, the number one guy. And, you know, when the pads come on and we're hitting and we're in game situations, things might look a little bit differently than they do when you're sitting there watching these one-on-ones. And that's where, you know, someone like Pierre Garçon, his skill set would shine more, you know, in a team contact situation. But Marquise Goodwin looking very good in camp. And the 49ers' young receivers really as a whole seem like they're coming to play. Stock down, Joshua Garnett, obviously, because of his injuries, and it's looking tougher and tougher for him. If he's not on the field, he can't win that roster spot. And right now, if you're giving a stock up to that position, it's got to be Jonathan Cooper, who, like Trent Taylor, getting his first work in Team 11-on-11s, has a chance to gain ground on Garnett, with Garnett being out in that battle for right guard, along with Mike Person, who's been taking the first team reps in practice. So we'll monitor that, and we'll see if Cooper can overtake Person for those first team reps. But right now, if you break camp, it's got to be Cooper and Person as your right guards. Garnett would be maybe trade bait or even cut at this point. And you think about Josh Garnett. If the 49ers move on, trade him, cut him, whatever, if he doesn't make it to the 53 for the 49ers in 2018. Looking ahead, how many of Trent Baalke's draft picks will even be on the roster after this year? You've got Buckner. Jaquaski Tartt got re-upped, so he's going to be around. You could really only guarantee that there's two Trent Baalke draft picks. He was the GM 2 years ago. He was drafting players in 2016. This is 2018. They've only had two drafts since then. There might only be two Trent Baalke draft picks on this roster in 2019. Eric Armstead, he's still around. He's got that fifth-year option for 2019 that the 49ers picked up. That's going to be a tough contract to move. It was maybe somewhat surprisingly that they did pick up that option just because Armstead's been kind of a question mark. He's been hurt a lot. Dinged up again in camp this year. So his contract is guaranteed for 2019, and that doesn't mean he will for sure be on the roster, but like Ward this year in 2018, probably likely, and teams may not want to pay him that much, so trade options could be scarce if the 49ers did want to move on. So he probably will be around. So there's three players that are most likely going to be on the roster in 2019 that were Baalke draft picks. Eli Harold, Ronald Blair, Bradley Pinion, Aaron Burbridge. I mean, was that six guys? There's not even any other options. If Garnett's gone, and half of those guys could be gone too. So that's crazy how quickly the 49ers have turned over this roster, and just goes to show how bad the 49ers drafted there for a while. And there's some of those names I just listed. They're in competition for spots right now, and they will be again this time next year, even if they do hang out for one more season on the 49ers roster. But DeForest Buckner does look like a player, and I think he could take that step to being an all-pro guy this year. And by the way, Joe Staley, he was a Scott McLuhan draft pick in 2017. And man, what a hell of a first round that was for Scotty Mack. Scotty McLuhan doing work in 2007. Patrick Willis, number 11 overall. And then he comes back, trades back into the first round, picks up Joe Staley, number 28 overall. Good work by Scotty McLuhan, who was a part of the Browns front office in a consultant role. And they had two picks in the top four picks. So we'll see. Baker Mayfield, they picked up maybe their next Frank Gore in Nick Chubb in the second round. And of course, Denzel Ward, an undersized but feisty and supremely athletic cornerback. So maybe the Browns have turned this thing around under John Dorsey with the help of Scotty McLuhan, at least in the 2018 draft. I don't think Scotty McLuhan's with another team right now. He was just a consultant for them through the draft process. But anyway, there you go. There's 49ers stock up and stock down. And this roster is very fresh, very clean. And man, the 49ers, if the 49ers look, a lot of people want to throw them in the playoffs. There's a lot of hype around the 49ers, and I get it. And it's an exciting time to be following the 49ers. But even if this team goes 8-8, 9-7, that's a massive win when you consider this entire roster was flipped over from 2016, that there maybe is a half a dozen guys at maximum that are going to be stuck around from the 2016 draft this season, and maybe four or five guys at the most in 2019 that were drafted by the former regime. That is a complete gutting of the roster and flipping over of talent. So shout out to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan for the talent they've added and for the coaching staff to be able to take all this young talent, get it on the field, and get it competitive. And we'll see how competitive the 49ers are in 2018. Many expect them to be in that playoff hunt, and I think that's a fair assessment. Watching how the 49ers ended last year, 5-0 under Jimmy Garoppolo, should be better this year. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see how this team gets together, but don't be disappointed if the 49ers don't go blow the doors off this thing. Just keeping that in mind, how young this roster is, how much this roster has been turned over in the last 2 years. It's still in the very early stages of a rebuild, but it's helped that they dropped that franchise quarterback, what looks to be the franchise quarterback long-term for the 49ers in there. That really accelerates things. And now I guess it's mailbag time. Let's kick this mailbag off with Jeremy from Twitter. He says, love the show. Thank you very much, Jeremy. You guys should do a preseason fantasy league. Four games only. Imagine that draft. Raheem Mostert, first rounder. McCaffrey, sleeper. Yeah, I like that. Max McCaffrey would definitely be a sleeper. He's been getting some pub in camp as well. Max McCaffrey, who's a long shot, I think, to make the roster, but he's doing some work. C.J. Beathard could go ham in the preseason if we're looking at just 49ers players. All those wide receivers after Garcon and Goodwin, all the rookies. Richie James, he could go nuts on some like third, fourth string cornerbacks in preseason games. I'm really going to be looking forward to that and watching those guys work in these preseason games. And a lot of people turn off the preseason games early. No, man, it's just getting started in the second half, watching these guys go to work. Kendrick Bourne and Dante Pettis going at it. My number one overall pick would have probably been Lamar Jackson of the Ravens. That wouldn't have turned out all that well, judging by the Hall of Fame game, although that's the fifth preseason game for those guys. I don't know if that's the best indicator right out of the gate, but I'm still interested in watching some of the young players around the league in some of these preseason games, guys like all the quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, see how he develops. Start to get a clearer picture of some of the rookie quarterbacks like Darnold and Rosen and Baker Mayfield as well. So that's going to be fun. But 49ers would be really eyeballing those wide receivers. Some of those guys could go nuts. But maybe there's so many of them, they'd have to spread the ball around too much and they wouldn't go as crazy as maybe Joe Williams. Maybe Joe Williams is your guy. Just get the entire second half and break off some of those big runs that he teased us with last preseason. Hopefully he stays healthy. Gets on the field and proves he's worthy of a roster spot. Raheem Mostert versus Joe Williams. That could be a fun one. By the way, Raheem Mostert was ranked as, I think, one of the top two or three special teams players by Pro Football Focus last year. So he's a valuable player. It's going to be tough to knock off Raheem Mostert. But to answer your question, Jeremy, no. No preseason football for me. No, thank you. Let's go to Dan. An email. He says, what undrafted player is shining offense or defense? From all the reports I can tell, I think Tarvarius McFadden is doing a little bit of work. I think he's got a good shot, especially with some of the injuries that's going on right now in camp. Big-bodied cornerback, I think he might be your guy if I had to put money on one of the... There's not going to be nearly as many undrafted free agents making this roster, and maybe zero. Stephen Dunbar, he looked good on Sunday, getting open, plucking the ball out of the air. A little bit more athletic than I remember, a little bit smaller and more athletic than I remember him looking on film at Houston. Stephen Dunbar, rookie undrafted wide receiver. But man, there's a lot of competition there at the bottom of the roster at wide receiver. An email from Shane. He says, Garnett, Armstead, Ward, first and a third round draft pick for Khalil Mack. Talked about this a lot on Twitter. You got to give up what it would take if the Raiders actually would trade Khalil Mack, which I still doubt, even though there is some whispers out there that they would trade Khalil Mack and they don't want to sign him long term. I would give him all the money he needs and I would throw I would hoard draft picks if I was an NFL GM. But for an impact edge rusher, for the player in his prime, entering his prime that Khalil Mack is, I would do what it takes to bring him in and then pay him what it takes to keep him around. You would just do it. It might take two first rounders. First and a third. I mean, Armstead, Ward, I talked about their fifth-year options. if you're worried about money and that's why you're not signing Khalil Mack, you wouldn't want Armstead or Ward. So, you know, maybe you throw, maybe Garnett's a throw in, but it's all about what the draft picks would be that you would send the Raiders. And first and third would probably be a minimum. I would think first and second. You twist my arm, I would do it, man. That it's so important. It's so impactful. And when teams get these edge rushers, like we've seen, they throw the franchise tag. They do whatever to not let them leave because they're that important. You know, it's quarterback, then it's pass rusher, blindside pass protector, maybe cornerback. I would put edge pass rusher number two after quarterback. That's how impactful I would put those positions in order. And Khalil Mack's one of the best in the league. Raiders are insane for even thinking about it. I don't know what's going on over there. From Abraham on Twitter, he says, was at training camp on Thursday. My twin boys were wondering, what's the deal with the golden football? Well, the message on the golden football at training camp, for those of you who don't know or haven't seen it, there's a golden football with a message on it. DeForest Buckner was seen carrying it around. I think it's made its way around camp. The message on this football, it's the mantra from defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. It simply says, extreme violence. So it might not be the message you want to instill into your twin boys, Abraham, but it's the message that Robert Saleh is trying to instill into his defense and the mentality of extreme violence. I hope when they bring that extreme violence on defense, they have their heads up. They're not leading with their helmet because we don't want to have a lot of penalties. You know, that's one of the things I'm secretly worried about. I don't think we've talked enough about Reuben Foster, Adrian Colbert, the way those guys play, the way they've hit last year. They would have drawn about 1,000 penalties. So, yeah, hopefully the 49ers are able to play fast, all gas, no brakes, extreme violence, but within the rules and have their heads up and not crown dudes and be getting flagged all the time because that would be very frustrating. I think fans are already going to be really frustrated, especially to start the year with all the flags that are going to be getting tossed. And we'll see maybe some indications of that on Thursday against the Cowboys in that Week 1 preseason matchup. This from Solman. He says, hey, Brian, I attended a recent open mini camp and Goodwin looked really good. But the one guy who looked even better was Matt Breida. You think the hype around McKinnon is too much and Breida will play a larger role than expected. You know what, Solman? I think that's a possibility. And they obviously gave McKinnon the money. But, I mean, I got to imagine Kyle Shanahan doesn't care what you're being paid. If Matt Breida outplays him or proves that he deserves a split of the carries, I think he's going to get him. And you're right. From what I've heard, and I'm glad I heard that report from you too, because everybody has said, man, Matt Breida is balling right now. So he should have been a guy in my stock up. Matt Breida, I think he has a chance to eat into McKinnon's carries. And McKinnon might be better on passing downs, but it might be close when you're talking about pure runners. I mean, Matt Breida was like 5 yards per carry last year after he really kind of started taking over and took the lion's share of the carries from Carlos Hyde down the stretch. Yeah, that's something to monitor. Let me put it this way. If you're in your fantasy drafts, you're looking for a late round sleeper, you might want to dial up Matt Breida. I think that's a smart play because if McKinnon gets hurt and then it's Breida show or just being that number two guy, the Tevin Coleman to Devontae Freeman situation, that might be, and he might even get more carries than Tevin Coleman has gotten in Atlanta. But there's always the caveat with these training camps and watching these guys in practice and watching the one-on-ones and watching stuff in open space. When the pads come on, when the hitting is game situation, things start to look a lot different. So like I mentioned with Pierre Garçon, not getting all the pub from one-on-ones. I mean, a lot of the training camp stuff, a lot of the practices and the lack of hitting, it's really skewed towards the quicker, smaller players. So on Thursday, I think we're going to see a little bit more love after that first preseason game and throughout the preseason for some of the big players. Some of the bigger bodied guys will have a chance to show off when you get to hit some other players from other teams for once. This from Adam on Twitter. He says, I see Eli Harold finally made a play. First, I've heard his name all camp. Is he really going to start again? He's absolutely going to start. And I think he'll be a two-down player. And then in sub-packages, he might see a little bit of rush off the edge, but most likely he'll be replaced by, say, Jeremiah Atashu, who comes in and rushes the passer from the edge. And Eli Harold is more of a two-down run base player as a strong side linebacker. And that's where Eli Harold's strength is. I mean, he's not a great pass rusher. Despite his build and his athleticism, he wasn't a great pass rusher in college. He hasn't proven to be that in the NFL. He's stayed healthy, which is it's always proven every year. I mean, staying on the field, the best ability is availability. And Eli Harold has stayed healthy. He's a really good run defender, so he can set the edge. He's a good player against the run, and then when it's obvious passing downs, they're going to bring in somebody else to rush the passer. So I believe that that's going to be the exact same role for Eli Harold again this year. And the 49ers didn't do much to try to upgrade the edge and upgrade strong side linebacker. Maybe that's something they attack next year, and we'll see them hit some players in the draft or free agency. But for right now, it's Eli Harold on base downs and Jeremiah Tauschew, who will be rushing from the edge on third down. And the other side will probably be Cassius Marsh from the Leo spot as Solomon Thomas kicks inside on passing downs. Let's go to James on Twitter, who says there's suddenly some real depth regarding the wide receiver group. Who do you drop? It's too early to tell. I mean, this is a cop-out answer, but there's a lot to be determined here. We've got four preseason games, a ton more practices for these wide receivers to stand out, prove they belong. Might be a situation where the 49ers are forced to keep maybe seven when they planned on keeping six wide receivers because they need Aaron Burbridge who can play special teams, and they don't want to lose, say, Richie James to another team if they try to sneak him on the practice squad. Steven Dunbar has been making some plays. Max McCaffrey's been making some plays. So right now, it's going to be some tough choices to be made. If I had to choose who to drop now, it would probably be Max McCaffrey. He's already not stuck on multiple rosters, and so there's got to be a reason why there. Steven Dunbar, I think you could sneak him to the practice squad, and I would keep Richie James. But who knows? This could go a lot of different directions, and these guys are going to compete. And so that's one of the most fun, I think, roster battles going on right now, and I'm really going to watch through the end of all these preseason games, and I'll have some more concrete answers for who I think should make the 53 once we get a chance to see these guys on the field on Thursday this week and then on Friday, Saturday coming up in the other weeks. Okay, one more. We're going to end it here with Carl, and I do apologize to those questions I didn't get to. We're going to definitely be hitting some more of these on Winky Wednesday this week, so stay tuned for that. But we're going to go to Carl here to finish it off. He says, Brian, long time no talk. Good to talk to you again, Carl. In 2019, heck, maybe in 2018, will our one and two wide receivers be Goodwin and Pettis? I hope so. Well, Carl hopes that that's the case, and I think that's really the path that this thing looks like it's on right now. I'd be surprised if Pierre Garçon at his contract level, if Pettis shows out and if some of the young players prove they're ready to go. I would be surprised if Garçon is on the roster in 2019, which would really open the door. It'd be Goodwin and Pettis, and they just re-signed Goodwin. You got Trent Taylor, you got Kendrick Bourne, you got Richie James out there. You can still draft some more talent next year or supplement with free agency, but right now, if you sort of squint your eyes and look ahead and see where this thing's headed, it's Pettis and Goodwin sort of penciled in to be the starters in 2019. I'm with you on that one, Carl. And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for getting involved in that mailbag. And continue to get those questions into me at BD Peacock on Twitter. You can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. We're going to keep the mailbag rolling with Nick on Wednesday. Tomorrow's episode is going to be Oscar Aparicio. He's the host of Better Rivals 49ers podcast. He joined me to talk about some scheme stuff and some bigger ideas about the 49ers. We're going to take a break from the camp talk just for one episode on Tuesday, but it's a really good conversation that you're going to want to tune into. All that and more coming up right here on Locked On 49ers.